Thank you so much to Rossi and the team. Just a real sense of God's presence with us this morning. Thank you for leading us. Folk, it's an absolute joy and privilege this morning to be able to introduce a friend of mine to you. His name's Brad Verena and his wonderful wife, Ange. Maybe you can just stand, Ange and Brad, so people can see you, especially his beautiful wife. And maybe the team from Oxygen Life as well can stand. We can see who you guys are as well. Just a huge Ganubi welcome to all of you. Folk, how often does this happen that a team just arrives from Port Elizabeth with no agenda other than to bless our church? They just came and said, we want to serve you and help you and be part of you for a weekend. And we're just so grateful. That's an amazing thing to do. And so Brad heads up the ministry there at Oxygen Life Church. And Brad, it's my absolute joy this morning, a privilege to welcome you. Brad will be at the 8 and the 10. You'll have to have me for the 6, I'm afraid, but Brad's here for the 2 morning services. And Brad, just a huge welcome to you. We can't wait to hear what God would have us hear through what you share this morning. Thank you so much. Let's welcome Brad.
Okay. Shot Mark, and good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to be with you today and to worship together with you. It was also awesome to be with some of the leaders yesterday afternoon. So what a privilege. Thank you so much to Ganubi Baptist, all your leadership team, for opening up your hearts to us, to receiving from these guys from Port Elizabeth, guys and girls. And thank you also for opening up your homes. We really do appreciate that, and for hosting us and just showing us hospitality. What a blessing to us you've been. Also, again, Mark and Paula, thanks for having us guys in your home as well. We look forward to just an ongoing, deepening friendship, and that the Lord will, yeah, do what he wants to do through our friendship, that he will cause our hearts to join more and more on a deeper level to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. He's working through the church onto the earth today, and not just one church. It's such a privilege to be able to travel. I was in Queenstown last weekend with a church over there called Familia Christi Church, a couple called Fella and Lizette leading that church, and just wonderful people, wonderful to be in God's presence, people just enjoying God, worshiping him, lifting their hearts up to the Lord, being joined together in a common purpose for God in Queenstown. To be here with you right now, our guys are worshiping back home. Well, not quite now, but soon, 9 o'clock. And it's just so great to travel around and to be with different believers in different parts of the world. And it just reminds me again, even as I'm worshiping God, you know, this is your bride. It's your church. It's your people. You're the one who's in charge, you know. And just often, sometimes our worlds can just kind of be about us, eh? It so often gets reduced to the square root of me. And yeah, man, God's at work. He's got a much bigger family out there than just our family. And we're part of this great assembly of saints around the world. But he's got a specific plan for you. It's amazing. He's got you, Ganubi Baptist, in his heart. And he has a plan for you. So this morning what I'm wanting to do is, I was in Australia for a month. So every now and again I'm going, yeah, you know, calling people mate. It's like terrible. I think if I had to ever, you know, end up somewhere else, I'd adopt whatever, you know, slang and pretty quickly guys would say, yeah, Brad, he's just deserted us. If I was in Germany, I'd probably start speaking, jawohl, you know. I pick up accents and it's terrible. So if you have the odd year coming out, I was there for a month. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I did you know, needle him a little bit when it came to the Australian versus South African cricket scores. And they were silent, like a lamb to the slaughter. And I went there straight after South Africa to nail them. It was so great. And they still had the audacity to say, oh, but who's the world rankings? Or they would say, yeah, who won the World Cup? I'm like, who cares about the World Cup? It's about now. We beat you guys now. Stop changing the subject. We thrashed you guys. Anyway, so what I'm wanting to do is to read from Colossians chapter 2. So if you do have your Bibles, I'll be reading from there. If you don't have them, that's okay. Just listen up, and I'm going to read a nice passage of Scripture and take us on from there. It's Paul writing to the church in Colossae, which was an ancient city And so, hence the title Colossians, because he's writing to the people, particularly to the church in a city of Colossae. So it's called Colossians. For those of you who didn't know that, if there's any visitors, if you're not exposed to the Bible, that's why we now have this book, this letter. And Paul writes to this church, and we're in verse 6 of chapter 2. He says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, that is in Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body and of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Jesus, having forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." May the Lord bless this reading from his most holy and infallible word. So I want to focus in on Colossians 2 verses 6 here, and mainly from verses 6 and 7 for this morning, where Paul says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Now, what's very interesting is when you look at that word, "so walk in him," it's the word, it means peripatio, it means to walk, and it also means to be occupied with. So it means to walk about, it means to follow, it means to be busy with. It doesn't just mean like to kind of like just, it means to walk with intent, to be occupied. You know where you're going. When you know you've got to head into Woolies for those beans, those coffee beans, you know where you're going. You're walking, you're peripatetic, you're getting to those coffee beans, and you want to get that coffee, that espresso out there, you know, as soon as possible if you run out in your cupboards. You know where you're going. That's the sort of walk that he's talking about, to be occupied with. You're not going like, you know, like often when ladies, they don't normally go walking into the shops. It's like walk. Well, I must admit, if I go into a hardware store, I'm exactly like that, you know, or an outdoor sport. Then we're not actually walking with intent. Then it's like, oh, you go wherever. This is to be occupied with. And he's talking about if you want to grow in your faith, if you want to, he says, you know, continue in your faith, to be rooted, built up, and established in the faith. He says, well, then you need, you know, he's going to give us some clues here in verse 6 and 7. We need to walk with the Lord. We need to be occupied with the Lord. And the best way of, like, I've got a great story regarding this. I mean, this kind of what would mean what occupied is about. When 18 years ago, it's actually 19 years ago or so, somewhere around there. I was single, and my mom told me one day, came home, my mom said, "Brad, I've met your wife." I'm like, "That's amazing. Awesome, Mom. Tell me about this lady." And my mom was in a different church to me, and I was like, okay, she said, "She's joined our church. She's a new girl. She's coming to the church, and she's like, she's hot stuff." And I was like, "Wow, tell me more, you know, tell me more." She's like, my mom says, "Oh, she's got these beautiful curls. She's curly. She's got straight hair today, but it's the GHD stuff, you know. She's got, she's got curly hair. She's got brown eyes, but they sparkle. She's full of life. She's full of energy. She loves the Lord. She's amazing." My mom just blew, you know, this woman's trumpet. And I was like, "Whoa, okay, Mom, oh, that is fantastic. You know, what's her name?" "No, her name's Angela." I thought, "Oh, great, Angela. Small, shortened Angel. Okay, sounds good to me." My angel. So I thought, okay, Mom, what's going on? When can I meet her? How's this going to happen? My mom says, "There's just one problem. She's got another guy." Like, thanks a lot. Like, how can you do this to me? Like, you've just told me you've met my wife and she's... And not only that, she's engaged. I'm like, Mom, that's like out of bounds. It's like never going to happen. It's like not even like I can maybe, you know, the rings on the finger. That's like in a man's world, there's absolutely no, not a chance I'm going. But if there wasn't a ring, maybe, but, you know. Anyway. Fair game until the ring's on, man. Anyway, so thank the Lord I'm married to Angela. But what happened is, long story short, the engagement got broken off. And that's another story for another day. And well, I was just like, that was it. I was just, had a one-track mind. I need to find out how to get to spend some time with her because she's in a different church. Fortunately, I'd come from that church. I was, so I had some friends part of there. So I used to get invited to parties and stuff like that and weddings. It was wedding season, you know, you were like 21, 22. Everyone's getting married. And, nowadays it's like 30, 31, 32. But anyway, so I went. Fortunately, there were two or three things that I went to where she was there. And that was it. I was occupied with one thing, and that is to get my face in front of hers. And hopefully that'll do the trick. I know I needed a miracle. But God is a God of miracles. Somehow he made me look beautiful in her sight. Anyway, but yeah, I wasn't, it was one of those things. I know I'm not worthy of this girl. If she does like me, it really is a miracle. And so the long and the short of it is, 18 years later, we married. But there was a time when I was really, really, really just so occupied, so concerned about getting in her space and then making it happen, making the appointment happen, the face-to-face happen. I mean, I literally even drove, I found out where she lived at one point and drove past her house before even, and like just, oh, there, I wonder which room she lives in. But it was like a stalker. I am safe with your children, don't worry. But I was really like, I just want to go and see where this woman lives, because I really thought, I agreed with my mom. She was like awesome. And that's really what Paul's saying. You're like, if you want to grow in your faith, you've got to be occupied with the Lord Jesus. You've got to be looking at Jesus all the time. You've got to be looking for ways to be with Jesus. You've got to be looking for ways to just for more opportunity to get more of who he is, because there's no one more desirable than Jesus. And if you want to grow in your faith, he's saying, well, he gives us some clues here. This is how you continue. This is how you be occupied with the Lord. And here we go. The first way, one of the first ways that we are get occupied, get busy with, walk with God, is he says, so then just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. That word received is really key there. You know, for those of us in this place today who've known the Lord Jesus for a long time or even for a short amount of time, we've got to remember how we got saved. And when we got saved. And he says, so then just as you received him. It's so easy when we've been serving the Lord for a long time to start to rack up all the sort of medals, you know what I mean? I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. You know, I've been on outreaches now. I've been on ministry trips. I've been in the worship team for so many years. And so we can go on. Like Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he says, you know, there's a lot of things that he can count to his gain. Like, yeah, he's been a Pharisee, he's been a this, he's been a that, he's, you know, born on, he gives a whole lot of accolades about himself. We can do exactly the same thing. There's something that in the heart of man and woman, that opposes the grace. It's actually to do with the grace of God, and that's pride. We so often begin to come to the Lord based on what we've done or how well we've done this week. And that's when we start not being occupied with Jesus, but occupied with self. It's like when we're forgetting that, hang on, when we received Jesus as Lord, we were dirty, rotten scumbags. We were scoundrels. We actually knew that we didn't deserve God. We knew that we didn't, you know, about a year or so ago, Andrew Selly, who some of you have heard now and will hear in the future preach and teach. He was in our church and he was sharing about how he grew up. When he didn't know God, he was a surfer and he was just nowhere. And he said, basically, now God's using us. He said, come on, man, we're all just a bunch of losers and God's using us. I sat in the chair and I was like, no, Andrew, you know, we're not all a bunch of losers. I'm the head and not the tail. You know, come on. God loves me. He's got a plan for my life. You know, a hope and a future, man. Come on. That's me. I'm not a loser. But God spoke to me through that little moment. It was a comment. It wasn't even part of his preach, really. It was just a comment. God said, yo, Brad, pride is in your heart. And you need to repent of that pride. Because who do you think you are outside of my grace? Do you really think you could stand in front of me by your good works? Do you really think that outside of me and my invitation, you could have stood before me saying, I deserve to be here? And then it's like God just cut through a veil of pride that like a blanket of pride, you know, that had fallen over my heart, where somehow in my heart, I just begun to believe and be occupied maybe with a little bit of my own righteousness. The fact that I can do this thing. But you know, none of us, when we came to Christ, believed we could do it. None of us, and just by the way, I grew up in the church. My father was a pastor. I was born into a manse. I was born into the house next door, you know, the church building. You know, that was me. I went to church every single Sunday. I knew all the Bible scriptures. I used to pray every single night. But when I had an encounter with God at 13 years old, even though I never drank, I never swore, I did definitely lust. You know, and so I can name a couple others, but, you know, but I was a pretty good boy. Like, you know, I was a nice guy to be around. I did have a temper, you know, but I never killed anybody. Yet. But I was a good guy. But one day, and I was actually at a church camp. And while I was at a church youth camp, I was lifting up my hands in worship. And I sang that song, you know, Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without. Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care. Remember that song? And your loving care. But now I am a child, I am adopted in your family, and I will never be alone. Because Father God, you're here beside me, I will sing your praises. And while I was singing that song, yeah, I remember that, 1980s. While I was singing that song, I was like, Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood. I thought, well, yeah, I've always known your parenthood. And then he says, and your loving care. But now I'm a child, I'm adopted. I thought, yeah, I'm adopted in your family. This is good. And then I felt just the Spirit. It was a moment, revelation. God saying, well, are you my child? And I was like, yeah, my parents are born again. I felt the Spirit say, you're not going to stand before me with your mom and dad. You'll stand before me alone. And I was like, yeah. And then the Spirit opened my eyes to see that I was a sinner. And in a moment, I realized, in that moment, I was not a child of God. In fact, I had been a church child, a Christian child, but I was not a child of God. I'd asked Jesus to forgive my sin, but I'd compartmentalized God. I'd put him in, you know, the fatties and moanies God, you know, in the cupboard, and then he comes out for forgiveness at night. Please, Lord, forgive my sins. You know, pray for all the children who don't have food, and, you know, and then put him back in the cupboard. And then at school, I wouldn't swear, I didn't drink, but yeah, when the guys were talking about this or that, I was a bit of a chameleon. So I wasn't completely surrendered to the Lord. And the Lord just said to me, that is filthy in my sight. You could just as well be the jolly chainsaw murderer in my sight. If you stand before me, you are a sinner and I cannot accept you. And in that moment, there was actually an art class for the week, and had drawn a picture of Jesus on the cross. And it's a classic Jesus on the cross with his head bowed and a crown of thorns so you can't see his face and blood dripping. And I had a revelation that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for Brad Verena's filthiness. Because how sinful is it to actually be in church every Sunday and not give ourselves fully to God when we actually know everything we know and we don't give ourselves to God? That's a major sin. We're all happy to say, oh, what about drinking? What about swearing? What about fornication, sexual immorality, all these things, gossiping? No, but what about the failure of full surrender to the Lord Jesus when we expose to His Word every single week before God? It's unacceptable. And we're desperately in need to receive an invitation of a gracious, loving, merciful God. Come near to me in my Son Jesus. Cling to my Son. Hold on to my Son. I've provided the sacrifice for your sin. And in that moment, I cried out to Jesus and I had a revelation that Jesus died for me. And I experienced the freedom washing over me that Jesus loves me. That even though I was a sinner, Jesus loves me. He's accepted me. And I am received. I'm fully received. And I was so aware that I didn't deserve it. I was so aware that I'd mistreated. I was one of the guys, you know, at the cross saying, who are you, the Son of God? That's what we're doing with our actions when we live like that. I was one of those guys. The Son of God, whatever. And we are still living my own way. And in that moment, as I had that revelation of grace, my whole life changed. That was actually when I got born again. I really experienced the love of God, the acceptance of God, where God said to me, Brad, no matter what you've done, I've died for that. I've loved you. Even while you were a sinner, I've loved you. I've purposed my grace upon you. And my whole life changed. Suddenly I wanted to read my Bible. Suddenly I wanted to pray, not just, you know, bless those who don't have food. I wanted to actually know God and walk with Him and tell all my buddies about Him and actually go into school and go into the sports field, onto sports field, and really, really just live for God because His grace, His love is so awesome. But it's so, you know, now it's 28 years down the line. 1988, I don't know what's 1988, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus. And there's much water that's come under the bridge, much that I've done for the Lord. But I still cannot, must not stop being occupied with the fact that He says, so then just as you received Christ Jesus. It was a receiving. It was a receiving and a believing. John 1 says that whoever believes and receives Him, He gave the right to eternal life. See, if you want to be a good Muslim, if you ask a good Muslim or an imam, how do you know that you're going to get to eternal life? They will tell you, I hope my good works outweigh my bad. It's about praying 5 times a day. It's about getting to Mecca. It's about making sure that you give alms to the poor, etc., etc. And hopefully you've got enough good works. But it's not like that with Jesus. Our good works are not good enough and will never be enough. It's about believing and receiving the Son. He's provided for us. The Word says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's a gift. That's why Christmas should not be about Christmas trees, you know, and Santa Claus and reindeers, you know, as much as it should be, yeah, presents, no problem, because really, actually, the grace of God is about a present. Jesus is about a present. He's a gift, a free gift. You didn't have to pay for it. God paid the full price. Come on. Who doesn't want to open a lacquer present? And I believe that's what's actually going to be the biggest thing the world's going to be held accountable to. There was a present waiting for everybody on this planet. Everyone. It's the present of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins. The one who stood in the gap to say, I loved you this much. Will you just receive it? Believe and receive. And as you believe and receive, the grace of God enters and love comes in to our hearts. And the Holy Spirit just fills us with fullness of life. Absolutely, absolutely precious. And Paul says, if you want to grow in the Lord, if you want to be rooted, strengthened, built up in the Lord, be occupied with this news that you receive this grace. And today, if you're here and haven't received the grace of God, if today you're sitting with a conundrum or you're sitting with a problem, how do I get rid of this sin? It's eating away at you. You don't know how you're going to get rid of it. It's good news. The good news is God loves you. And he's expressed that love and shown it through his son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin to remove it as far as the east is from the west. And should you come today in a place of humility, like I did eventually, go, I know, before a holy God, I'm in trouble. God will receive you this morning. He will. And we all know, the Bible says that God's attached the Lord to our hearts. All of us know that when we stand before a pure, holy, and perfect God, no one in this place can stand. We'll all be flat on our faces. If we don't have that revelation, we've got a veil of pride on our hearts that somehow thinks that, yeah, I'm not a loser. I'm not a loser. I've done it. I've done life. I can do it. No. Before God, to keep moralistic holiness, man, it's impossible. It's only possible through Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's be that church that is occupied with understanding the grace of God, knowing that our acceptance is... The wonderful thing about the grace of God, knowing that we've received the grace, is that God accepts you as you are. And that's one of the biggest desires that human beings, we have in our hearts, is we want to be accepted. God sorts that problem out, no problem. Now, when we're trying to be accepted by clothes we wear and makeup we wear and, you know, cars we drive, God's like, hey, man, that's just all fickle. It's fickle stuff. The acceptance that you need is acceptance in your heart by the Father God, who will say you're okay. If he says you're okay, you're okay. Amen. The other thing is that we need to be occupied with to keep walking in Jesus is he says, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, Lord, you know, here I am. Oh, now you accept me. Great. But that word, Lord, is the word Kyrios, which means the one supremely in charge. The amazing thing is when Jesus came into my heart, like it was like, okay, what do you want me to do? Like, how do I live now? And God is looking for that. He's looking for us to go, okay, Lord, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to stick close to you. 1 John 2:6 says, this is how we know we live in Jesus. It's to walk as he did. And that's really to walk in relationship with God, which is, Jesus says, I only do that which I see my Father doing. So as we come into this receiving relationship of Jesus, it's also about living out his commands. Romans 6 verses 15 says this. How's this? We all like that song. What's that song about? I'm no longer a slave to sin. To fear. I am a child of God. Wonderful. I like it as well. Great song. But all our songs about sons and great. How about, imagine we wrote a song like this. Romans 6 verse 15. What then shall we... Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin, and have become slaves to righteousness. The Bible doesn't just say we're sons, daughters. We're slaves, man. Slaves. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a slave to God. It's 100% biblical. But we don't like that, right? We don't want to feel like we're boxed in. You know, I like to think outside of the lines. The gray areas. I like to move in the gray areas. Now, God's looking for us to be slaves to righteousness, which means we don't have an option, which means, like, you know, slave, you lose your rights. You know, Jesus says that if you want to gain life, you must lose your life, and whoever loses their life will gain life. And there's this thing of this free gift of God, which costs nothing. Awesome. But hey, now that you've got it, this love is a captivating love. You can do no other but to obey the Lord Jesus. He's brought you into sonship and he's brought you into slaveship. But man, you wouldn't want to be anybody else's slave. David knew something about that. when he had sinned. God says, you got two choices. Either you can be thrown into the hands of man, and into my hands I'll sort you. David says, I'd rather be given into the hands of God than into the hands of man. Because he knows actually that God is more merciful than man. It's absolutely crazy. It's a safe thing to be a slave of the Lord and a slave of righteousness. It does take effort, absolutely. It does take to be a slave to righteousness means that we cannot hold on to unforgiveness. We have no choice but to forgive, because as we have been forgiven, so forgive. That's the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Like Jesus linked it right in there to a key prayer. If you're saying, Lord, forgive my sins, you've got to be forgiving somebody else's sins. But to be doing that, you've got to be a slave to righteousness, going, man, I've received this grace, Lord. I must obey. Help my heart, Lord, to come into line with yours and to live a righteous life, to be occupied with righteousness. Say, God, I don't want to blur the lines in my tax returns this year. We can't be doing that as born-again believers. We cannot be doing that. We don't want to blur the lines when it comes to things in our hearts and justifying things like pornography. I can't help myself. Or it's just all over. No, we've got to get ruthless. Ruthless. Like, Angus Buchan says to the men. Men, if you can't get victory on things, throw the computer out the window. Chuck it against the wall. Get yourself a Nokia 6110 from the Stone Age. You know what? We should be proud that if we're saying, hey, I can't get over this thing, that we're saying, I'm a slave to the righteousness of the Lord. I will do whatever it takes. I'll put accountability searches on my laptop. I'll get a phone that's 19 foot sec, can't access the internet. And I'll get like an alarm that buzzes and jolly, you know, poison sprays into my face if I activate anything. Whatever, but do what it takes. Be occupied just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord. Continue to be occupied with Him. When we first got saved, you didn't. I mean, how many people, there's probably a room full of people here, when you first gave your life to the Lord, if you had a real born-again experience, when you swore afterwards, you went, and then you swore again. Why? Because the Spirit in you, the Bible says, in 1 John says, that we have the DNA, the seed of God in us, therefore we need to stop sinning. The reason we stop sinning is because the DNA of God is in us. And the DNA of God is holiness, righteousness. And so when we sin, it's like, whoa, I can't keep doing that. If we're okay with sin, we've got to actually recognize we're actually heading into deception. And we're forgetting the way we ended up getting saved. The day we started getting saved. The day we came to Jesus, we were like occupied with, oh, I just want to give Jesus everything. Come on. Are you with me, everybody? The first one was a nice one. This is the hard one, right? And we need to learn to obey. Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, put on the new self and put off the old self. He says this, if you have been raised with Jesus, seek the things that are above. Colossians 3 verse 1, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked. You were once occupied with these things when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to each other, seeing that you put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after its creator, after the image of its creator. Then he says this, Colossians 3:12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing each other in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What a wonderful passage of scripture. It's like if I could just read that and sit down, right? It's the word of God. It's so beautiful and crisp and clear and clean and It's like, Lord, but you know what? We don't always feel that way. And sometimes we do wake up on the wrong side of the bed. It's like, get up. You know, Zuma again. What's he doing? You know, the guys at work. And, you know, and those are, it's God understands, these are normal things. But as believers, we're slaves to righteousness. We are occupied with being like him in made in the image of our Creator, and we're constantly putting off, putting on, putting off, putting on. But His power is there for us in the Holy Spirit to enable us to do that. Amen? Amen. And I thank God for those who've been His children and slaves for a long time and still happy about it, because that's how we should be. And you know what? The Word says, I run in the paths of your commands because you've set my heart free. All of us here have been stung by sin. Sin at first looks very lekker. It looks lekker to be free from the shackles of righteousness until it bites your marriage. Until it bites your business. Until, you know, the freedom that you experience suddenly, oh dear, now I actually don't have a relationship with my children anymore because I've been so occupied with materialism that I've lost my teenage kids. They're 20 and I don't even know them. Sin looks so wonderful at first to be free, but God calls us into a righteousness and He reigns us in and He knows what's best for us. And when you're occupied with Him and doing things His way, things will work out in the end because He's a good God. He loves us and He will never do anything in the end that will not be ending up for the best. And it might be the best that we'll only see in heaven, but that's the faith we have. That's the faith we have, that we serve a loving, good Father. And when we bind ourselves to His righteousness, we're bound to the most beautiful, awesome thing imaginable. Amen. So let's continue to be occupied with the Lord Jesus and to learn to obey His voice. And then in my second last, I won't be so long on this one, He says this, so then just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to be built up in Him, rooted and established in the faith as you were taught. And this is very, very key, that if we're going to grow up and be rooted, built up, established, there's an as you were taught thing there. See, none of us here could baptize ourselves. Imagine that. In fact, I actually heard in Queenstown this last weekend, that somebody in their church baptized themselves. I baptized myself in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm like, where do we ever see that? Baptism, you know, one of the beautiful things about baptism is you can't baptize yourself. Somebody else must baptize you. Why? Because when you come to being God's child, you become part of God's family. And when we get born again, you're like a little child and you need help. And all of you, when you came to Christ, what did you know? You knew you needed to link yourself to something or someone who also loves this Jesus that I do, so that I can learn. Any person who's been properly born again, they'll want to find out, like, how can I grow? How can I go on in my faith? And they're hungry to be taught by somebody who actually knows a little bit more than them. Why do we think when we've been going 20, 30 years that we're any different? We should never kick out of a discipleship track in our lives. If we want to grow up and be rooted, built up, strengthened in the Lord, it's as you were taught. There's an as you were taught element to our lives, that we need to keep teachable and keep accountable and keep walking with others who are walking with God. Keeping our lives in the light. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another. Pray for each other, you'll be healed. That needs to be a part of our life as believers. That we walk sincerely. The word talks about us walking in the light as He is in the light and then being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. When we're hiding stuff from each other and walking individually and in independence, we're never going to come into maturity in the Lord. But when we begin to open our lives and actually be humble, that's when we really come into more. Because God has called us never to express Himself just as individuals. It's God's plan and purpose that His nature and character gets expressed through our togetherness, through how we are linked. And so church is not about coming to church even or attending church. Church is about being the church. It's about being the body of Christ. You know, the word has all sorts of descriptions about what the church is. It's a body, which means the hand cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The hand can't say, you know what, today I just want to do my own thing. You know, and the other body parts are going, well, you know, go, whatever, get out of here, cheers. It's like, no, we need you, get you. You are part of a body of Christ. I was telling the guys yesterday, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I broke this digit of my pinky here. Just one digit, this bottom one here. Just cracked it properly right the way through. And my whole body was out of action. Well, I mean, I could do everything, it was cool, but I couldn't surf. So I could do a lot of different things, drive, the whole works. But then when it came, it feels like I'm good. I'm ready to go. Like, let's go down to the beach. And I got my board in the car, and the waves are cooking. And there's like, you know, you hold onto the board to pick it up. It's like, I won't be able to do it. Then you try different angles. Maybe I can do that. But then I realize as you paddle, it's like bending this finger. It's like, you can't do that. So eventually I'm standing on the beach watching everybody surf, and it's like one little digit. And the Word of God says that's the body of Christ. That each one is important for the body to be built up. In fact, Colossians says that, Ephesians says that the body comes to maturity as each part, each supporting ligament does its work. There's ligaments that you can't even see. Everyone's seeing like my face and this, but there's stuff that's happening underneath here that enables me to do what I'm doing. God can't do, how's this, what He wants to do without you being in it, in this church. It's quite something. Or you will have to raise somebody else to do it. But His plan is for us to see how important you are within the life of a church, and that you are linked to others, and you're continuing to live your life out in a place of humility, where you are linked to other people's destinies. Come on. It's true. I don't have time to go into that this morning, but we need to keep in a place, or make sure that if you're just attending Sunday church, that you go, hang on, I'm listening to this guy saying something, maybe there's a cap or a ceiling on my spiritual growth. All those other things are in place. I'm definitely walking in obedience. I'm walking. But what about, am I linked in? Have I started really walking with people? Am I really submitted to others? Do other people know what's going on in my life? Amen? I better start landing here, hey? Okay. And then lastly, he says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus Lord, so continue to be occupied with Him, rooted, built up, and established in the faith as you were taught, abounding with thanksgiving. The word abounding there is actually the Greek word superabounding. It's actually like, you know, on nitrous. It's like, you know, add a turbocharger to it. That's what he's saying, superabounding. As believers, if we want to grow in the Lord, worship is one of the things that needs to come from our lips constantly. A thankfulness. We met with a couple just this last week who were struggling with some things, and I was able to just very gently and very graciously say to them, they were struggling with the battle of having new children, and life is busy and it's just chaotic. I just said to him, you know, life is, we've been there, three children at that age, you know, we've been there. It is chaotic. And at the same time, just don't forget how much you have. Eh? Like, just think about the fact that you've got a car to climb in and go home. And I know it's a small thing, but just thank God for that, you know, that you've got food on your tables, or that you've, you know, to be able to just point people to the thankfulness of what we have in the Lord. And you might even go here and say, I've got nothing to be thankful for. We've often got nothing to be thankful for when we were comparing ourselves up. But when you compare yourself down, which is not about, it's not about a hierarchical thing here, but we often compare ourselves with those who have. But how about comparing yourself to those who don't have? And even then, those who don't have, there's a place for them to look up and go, well, what do I have right now? I've got breath in my lungs. I've got that last bit of energy that God's given me right now, and to be thankful in all circumstances. These are keys for us to grow up in the Lord and to be fruitful. I don't know if you guys sometimes let the music team up, or do you just end with a prayer? Okay, so if Ross, thanks, but if you can come up and we'll end with a song. But I'd love us to, just in closing there this morning, I'm sure God has spoken to you on one of those keys to growth, or all of the above. But let's respond this morning to either God saying, hey, well done, you're doing all of them. Keep going. It's lekker when it's like that. Eh? I just love it when I'm going, yeah, the Holy Spirit's just saying, Brad, you're doing great. Yeah, you just, all of the above, you're doing well in them. Maybe you're feeling encouraged in the Lord today. That's awesome. Leave here encouraged. Maybe you got a mix of encouragement like, oh God, I got some stuff to do. Well, then let's end by actually bringing that before the Lord. Saying, God, you know, this grace thing, I've actually veered from it completely. I'm actually coming to church every week, and I feel like I'm definitely not a loser. And I've heard today there's pride in my heart. I've forgotten the love that I first knew. I've forgotten that actually nothing that I am actually deserves to be in your presence. And Lord, I'm sorry for my pride. I'm sorry for my arrogance. God warned Israel a lot of times about things like that. One of the major things that caused them to veer from him all the time was that they wore pride around their neck. He says, like a necklace. And sometimes we can do the same thing. If you need to repent of that today, then say, Lord, yeah, I've forgotten my first love. Just that raw passion, devotion, because I knew I was loved by you. Maybe today, as I've said, you don't know Jesus and you need forgiveness today. I'm going to ask you actually to respond this morning. Say, I need Jesus to cleanse me of my sin. All right. And perhaps you haven't walked accountably. Perhaps you're not involved in the church beyond coming to a Sunday meeting. And you know, I need to be in a home group. I need to start sharing my life with others. Then commit yourself this morning to doing that, finding out through the necessary guys how to do that. Okay. Let's pray this morning. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, I thank you for your word. It's your word, not mine, and it's powerful. Your word divides the marrow from the bone, the spirit from the soul. It's so sharp, we just can't wriggle out from under it. Lord, you pin us down, and we really are appreciative of that, Lord, because we actually don't know how to live outside of you, Lord. We think we do, but we don't. We can't do life without you, Jesus. And we thank you for your concern for us, for your kindness towards us, to just showing us how much you love us and how to live for you. And I ask this morning that in all these respective areas, Lord, if we've lost the thankfulness, we've just become cynical, we're failing to see anything good around us. The sky is less blue. The trees are less green. It just feels like things are becoming mundane. And our world's becoming more and more and more tough and difficult. Lord, I pray that today you will even lift those hearts up to you. As Marcus prayed for the anxious amongst us, I pray as well today there would be that breakthrough in their hearts. That they will see how much they are loved by you. You know, the word says, cast your burdens unto Jesus. Cast your cares unto Jesus, because he cares for you. Cast your anxieties on Him. He cares for you. He loves you. Do that this morning. So if you're here this morning with all heads bowed, maybe some leaders can just look and see if there is anybody here who knows that they need their sins forgiven. They know that in this place this morning, they're not a child of God. They've heard that God loves them in Jesus, and you here and want Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior, to forgive you of your sin. You need that cleansing, man. You know inside, if you have to die today and stand before God, you're going to be found wanting. You're going to be found in a place of despair. If that's you, could you raise your hand and say, Brad, I need God. I need His forgiveness. I'm one of those guys who know I'm a loser. I know that without Jesus, I'm in trouble. Is there anyone like that? Just feel free to raise your hand and we're going to pray with you. It's fantastic, sir. Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else who just wants to acknowledge that today is your day, your appointment with God? You've walked in this place. He loves you, my friend. Big time. He loves you. He loves you, man. He purposed His love upon you. Today, He knows your name. He knows every hair on your head. And He's got you. He's got whatever you're going to bring before Him this morning. He's got it. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, sir. It's fantastic. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, what I'm going to do is just pray with you quick, but I'm going to ask that you're going to come to the front after the meeting and just say, hey, this is me, and just so people can identify you. But Lord, I thank You for these people who've put up their hands. And I pray this morning as they bring their burden of sin before You and acknowledge their need for You, that God, today, they will have an encounter with You. They will experience Your incredible love, Your incredible grace, incredible mercy. So where you are, if you can just with your own mouth say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve for You to know me or me to know You. But I receive this message of forgiveness. I receive Jesus into my life, into my heart. I receive the forgiveness of sins. Cleanse me now. Remove my sin from me. In Jesus' name. And I receive Your Holy Spirit. I don't even maybe know what that means, but I receive Your Spirit, Lord, to fill me from the inside and seal me, make me God's child. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, friends. I think we're going to worship to one song. Oh, eh?